Why should we pray for Russia? And 5 simple steps to improve your meditation. Listening to the news, which is nearly always negative, frequently leads to 2 extreme reactions we must avoid. On the one hand, angst and depression. On the other, becoming indifferent and cold. Neither is an appropriate Catholic response. Instead, we ought to have great compassion for those who suffer, and a strong enough hope that the evils in the world do not weigh us down. In this 54th episode of Our Lady's Shock Troops, Kevin Rorty describes a simple method for how to meditate. 5 steps that can even be simplified to 3. He also considers, what is the greatest tragedy? What is the purpose of meditation? How can my meditation help others? And the first Saturday devotion.
Welcome everybody to Our Lady Shock Troops. My name is Kevin Rorty. I'm the founder of Souls of the Christian Apostle, or SOCA. And in Our Lady of Shock Troops, we try to cover spiritual topics and apply those to things happening in the world or in our very lives, particularly from the lens of meditation. So today, what we're going to cover is the first in a couple episodes that have to do with the first Saturday devotion, particularly the part of it that has to do with meditation. So I hope you enjoy, and please give us your feedback. Russia is a really interesting topic from a spiritual point of view because we have a lot of things going on right now in Russia, obviously with the Ukraine war, but also what's happened in the last couple hundred years in that country from the lens of the faith. So we know right now Putin just did this interview with Tucker Carlson, kind of given the history of Russia from his point of view, and we've never really had an opportunity to hear from leaders of countries in this sort of in-depth way that we can in the 21st century. So really interesting to hear all of that. But it's important to put this all in context from a spiritual standpoint. So Our Lady Mary, she singled out Russia for a reason when she appeared at Fatima just over 100 years ago. And one of the reasons we could give to that is that Russia was kind of the crux of many ideologies swarming around. We all know about communism, but there's a whole lot more that went into that, that we see the roots of those ideologies still present in our society today. For example, many things that have to do with the breakdown of the family, and marriage and children and things of that nature are intertwined with the bad ideologies that were associated with Russia. Now, obviously, Russia's gone through a lot of transitions. In many ways, you could argue, uphold many more values in a classical sense than the Western world does. In many ways, the Western world has imbibed a lot of the ideologies that were first present there in Russia, or more explicitly present there. But when we look at this, a lot of people flail from angst about things in the world to indifference. Neither of those is really the right way of looking at things in the world. You know, if we just flail in angst, it's like looking at things as though we are pagans. You know, St. Paul says, mourn those you love who have died, but not as the pagans do. I was talking to a good priest friend of mine recently. He said, you know, it's okay to mourn, but to do so in a way where we despair, where it's all consuming, that's just like anyone who's a non-believer. Anyone who doesn't have eternal hope. You know, but on the flip side, we could say, well, who cares what's going on? That's, first of all, not realistic. It just means we're putting our head in the sand, because if you realize the gravity of international politics and war, not that we have to be super in depth with it, but if you realize the gravity of that, you realize how many people's lives are impacted, you should care for others. You should care for their souls. And you should care for their lives, their families, the brokenness that comes from that, the suffering. It's a Christian perspective to care for those who are suffering. There's a ton of suffering that comes from war. And so charity, this interior life, is not an excuse to not care about others or to think, well, I'm just in my little bubble and I'm just going to have this very, you know, tight way of looking at the world and just act as if nothing else is happening. You know, St. Teresa of Avila, when she founded her foundations with the Carmelites, she told the sisters, you did not come here for yourself. If you came here just for yourself, then you should leave. That's not why we're here. We're here to pray for the salvation of others. That's why we're here. That's why you've come to disconnect from the world, for that aim. That should be in our intentions and our aim for living. So when we have true charity, yes, we do have focus on spiritual things, but it's in the world but not of it, in the sense that it's taking these things that are temporal and sort of supernaturalizing them, transforming them, letting that be taken up from a Trinitarian point of view, right? So what would be a spiritual perspective on all of this? Well, the healthy approach would be to care for others, but to allow this to foster in us greater hope. Because if we have true eternal hope, we can recognize that this is the valley of tears and there is suffering, and that tugs on our heart. Suffering of our own and suffering of others. We should have great compassion. But at the same time, we have strong enough hope that that isn't going to weigh on us so much that we have all this angst, that we are obsessive about it. Because we know that this life is short. We're going to die sooner or later anyway, ourselves and others. And we want everyone to be prepared for eternity. That's the greatest tragedy, is when someone loses their eternal salvation, when their soul is lost, right? So you might wonder, well, how is that spiritual per se? Well, because in our spiritual life, it isn't just, well, I talk to God and that's it. It's in that time of talking to God, in that time of being with God, I should be growing my spiritual organism. And one of the key components of that is the supernatural virtue of hope. If you want a little tool to help you with that, memorize the act of hope. One version of it is, O Lord God, I hope by your grace for the pardon of all my sins and afterlife here to gain eternal happiness because you have promised it, who are infinitely powerful, faithful, kind, and merciful. In this hope, I intend to live and die. Amen. It's a beautiful prayer. You know, it can help when you're struggling with scrupulosity, but also when you're just facing the sense of your mortality right now, or you just have a sense of that and that angst might be coming on, or that angst for others. Maybe there's people you know and love that are affected by this war or that may be dying soon. But either way, that's a critical time to make that act of hope. Even if you don't see the practical step here and there, that's part of the darkness of faith, is you really can grow in those times of purification where you feel that weight in this life. So you might wonder, how can I grow in this? Well, making acts of hope when you're kind of triggered in that way is very helpful. But of course, spending that time in mental prayer is critical. And that's a time where I had a Dominican priest once tell me that time in mental prayer, it's like your antennas of supernatural virtue are like lit up and they're oriented toward God. And that's when you're growing in faith, hope, and charity, like constantly. You're constantly making those acts by being with God in mental prayer. It's awesome. It's like all of that all in one in a continuous act during that time of mental prayer when we're really intending to be with God. And so that kind of transitions us to the requests of Mary on the first Saturday devotion. So the first Saturday devotion entails the reception of Holy Communion after confession within 8 days before or after, praying 5 decades of the rosary, and spending 15 minutes in meditation on the mysteries of the rosary. Okay, so here's an excerpt. I might give a little commentary from Father Dooley, who published the book Rosary Meditations for Fatima Saturday. So we're going to emphasize the meditation on the mysteries of the rosary. We won't go over the communion or the decades of the rosary. We're going to go over the meditation piece, because Our Lady asked for that. Meditation is another word for mental prayer. Mental prayer is meditation. And I think he explains things in a pretty good way, dispelling some improper notions. And then we'll dive into some other components as well. So he says, one of the conditions for observing the five first Saturdays as requested by Our Lady is a 15-minute period of meditation upon the mysteries of the rosary. This quarter of an hour meditating is to be carried out with the set purpose of making reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in this context of the First Saturday devotions. We should be doing it every day, but this is a specific request in a specific instance from Our Lady. Now he continues, for many a soul, the word meditation is a forbidden word. It conjures up the hooded figures of Trappists or solemn-faced religious huddled together in appalling silence of a monastery or convent. So we think that's, oh, it's just for the religious. The ordinary run of the laity dissociate mental prayer with their day. In this, however, they are woefully in error. Without knowing it, they are already performing this exercise day after day, with the subject matter alone making the difference between their meditating and the meditation of religious monks. So he's saying, you're doing this already. You're already doing the act of meditation. Okay? He illustrates. A mother has a sick child. She at once revolves in mind a type of remedy to apply, or she consults a book on medicine, or she ponders summoning a doctor. She is, in fact, meditating upon a practical question, namely on how best to promote the good of her sick child. Or vacation time rolls around. The work-weary soul begins consulting timetables, seashore resorts, or the distance to alluring spots of scenic beauty and enchantment. Such a one is meditating, that is, pondering upon a certain topic with reference to his own pleasure in this case. So he's basically saying that act, when you're considering something and you're applying practical reasoning about it, that is actually meditation. It's a psychological function you could do about anything. So then he continues, in religion, we merely change the subject matter. For instance, in the meditations on the mystery of the rosary, we may think, for instance, on the birth of Christ. I recall what I have read and heard in the central mystery of the ages. I see Mary and Joseph in the bleak and unadorned cave. I picture myself the manger and the crude surroundings. This is all just different than, you know, the sick child and the practical remedies, right? You're considering all the totality of this mystery and how it applies to you. He continues, I hear the stamping of animals, their slow measured breathing, their restlessness. I observe the ecstatic face of Mary. The next moment I see her wrapping her firstborn in swaddling clothing. There he is before me, the desired of all nations and the winsome form of a boy. I adore him figuratively. I take him in my arms. I caress and sweet low, sweet love words into his infant ears. Perhaps I say, Jesus, I love you so much. Thank you for being a little one for me. Keep me ever close to you. Let me love you more and more. Pondering thus on the mystery for 15 minutes, I fulfill the requirements of Our Lady of Fatima and help make reparation to her Immaculate Heart. Should one mystery as illustrated above not suffice for my soul, I take up another one of the 15 mysteries, or as many as I desire, as long as I spend a quarter of an hour meditating upon its fruitfulness for my soul. Now, I'd add that piece, that fruitfulness for my soul, that's applying your practical reasoning, you know, whether it just be I make an act of love, God is so loving and lovable. But also, he's making it clear here, like, if you want to fulfill meditating on the mysteries of rosary, you don't have to meditate on all of the mysteries. Okay, you can just meditate on one and that fulfills the requirement for the first Saturdays. But of course, in any day where we should be doing our mental prayer every day, we can meditate on any mystery. Any of the mysteries of the rosary, any mystery of the faith, any scripture, right? There's so many things to meditate on. The goal of it being to increase love of God in our soul, increase faith, hope, and love. So you might ask, okay, what are the steps to mental prayer? And we cover this a lot in Soka, but I'll give five steps and then I'll boil it down to three simplified ones for the time you're actually there with three words. Okay. So the five general steps that I'm going to recommend are preparation, consideration, meditation, conversation, and conclusion. Okay. So first, preparation. I pick the time, location, the length, the material. I know where I'm going to do it, that kind of stuff. I have a meeting in my calendar, maybe something like that. So it's like I have an appointment with God. Next, when I actually come there, I make the sign of the cross in consideration, maybe make a little examination of conscience, put myself in the presence of God. You know, this all could take 60 seconds. And then I consider the material at hand. So if you're doing a mystery of the rosary, I would recommend looking up a little meditation on XYZ mystery. You could Google that. A really good book with meditations on every mystery you could think of basically is Divine Intimacy by Father Gabriel. You read it slowly. It's not like a textbook or something you're studying. You read it slowly and you move into meditation. Okay, this is where you apply your intellect and will to the subject. You're musing about the mysteries and the material, and then you consider its fruitfulness for your soul, the practical importance for me? Why does this matter? You could really ask. Okay? And you may not be good at imagining a scene. You don't have to do that. Okay? I myself have not a good imagination. Some people have a great vivid imagination that they control well. If you can do that, then great, do that. St. Teresa did not have that, but don't be discouraged because you can enter into the fourth step, which is really the key piece, which is just having that conversation with Christ, that love of Christ in your soul. You speak to him as your dearest friend. Anything else that may be on your heart, other than just this mystery, you can bring up with him in their presence. You can make acts of praise, thanksgiving, petition, contrition, etc. But then you're like, okay, well, I try to do that, Kevin, but I get distracted. Okay, great. Now you go back to consideration. You read a little slowly. You consider it. You speak with our Lord. You listen to him. You be with him. Okay, I got distracted. I'd repeat that. Do that for 15, 20 minutes. 15 minutes technically for just the Saturday devotion. And then you go to conclusion. I give thanks for the meditation. I make any resolution that I believe I may need to make in terms of virtue in my life or to continue praying. Anything that may come to mind, don't try to do a bunch of them, but one or two could be good. And anything you can give gratitude to God for in graces, even if you were super distracted during the meditation, just the fact you made it that long, you can give thanks for, right? And you make the sign of the cross. So when you're actually in that time of meditation, if you want to boil this down, just think read, reflect, dialogue, and cycle between those three. Read, reflect, dialogue. Read, reflect, dialogue. I read a little bit, I reflect on it, and I converse with Christ. Now, the end goal would be just to be in the presence of Christ in contemplation. But that's not something you can really control. Okay, it's something given that you can dispose yourself for and receive and give thanks and not run away from when it's given. And I'm not going to dive into the specifics of that here. That's for another time. But keeping that end in mind, it's to be with Christ. Read, reflect, dialogue. Read, reflect, dialogue. Okay, so that is how we're going to do our mental prayer in this time of fulfilling the first Saturday devotion in general. And it's important to see that this is really critical if we want to take up, you know, responsibility for things in the world as much as we can. Because if we're not fulfilling this ourselves, we're not doing the essentials that we could be doing. That could make a difference because in the economy of grace, by filling ourselves up with grace, that can overflow to many other souls. You don't know. There might be someone in danger, you know, and there might be some saving grace to save their life or their soul. You really don't know, but you got to believe that. You have to, because that's a part of our faith. We believe in the power of intercession and grace to pour out on others, right? So this is really, in a way, heroic because you don't get to see the fruits of it. But if you can do this with faith, hope, and love, it can be so fruitful for other people as well. So that concludes our lesson on mental prayer or meditation as part of fulfilling the first Saturday devotional request. Please join us. We're trying to get a spiritual bouquet of 100,000 people for the first Saturdays, committing to that on the 100th anniversary of Our Lady's request, which is December 10th, 2025. Okay, so please join us for that. Remember to like, share, support this channel. It really means a lot to me and to those who are trying to promote Our Lady of Fatima. God bless.
Our Lady Shock Troops is brought to you by the Fatima Center. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved. Our Lady's message of Fatima is the only solution for our time. It is urgent that we live according to Our Lady's message and that we share it with everyone we know. We exhort you to join our 100 by 100 First Saturday Challenge. And please support this vital apostolate with your donations. Visit our website, fatima.org, or call us at 1-800-263-8160. And please don't forget to send us feedback regarding the new format for this series we tried out in this episode. May all we do be for the glory of God and salvation of souls. Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us.